My phone went bloop bloop.
That noise bugs me.
It bugs you.
Yeah. How far into the Bioshocks did you get?
Hold on. And we're live.
So how far into the Bioshocks did you end up getting?
Not very far.
Okay. Because Infinite, and you could try skipping just to Infinite because it has literally nothing to do with the other two Bioshocks.
Mm-hmm.
There's literally nothing to do
with it.
There's
some fan service at the end, but yeah, you're
no.
Right.
Well, sure, okay. That doesn't mean it has anything to do with it. Does it have anything to do with the Return of the Jedi?
I thought part of what made... So this is legitimately no. Like...
The DLC. There was a DLC later on that mashed the two of them together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I thought the way they made the... they're not plasmids in Bioshock Infinite. I'm actually blanking on what they're called. No. I thought those were distilled from stuff they stole from
There's
Rapture.
There's literally no connection between Bioshock Infinite and Bioshock, except that you briefly see a shot of Rapture, and it has nothing to do with... Like, it's no different than how she brief... Whatever. No.
Yeah. Okay.
There's no plot tie-in.
I forgot to start the chat.
That's fine. Anyway, that sound that your phone makes, which is a pretty default alert that a lot of phones have, so I hear it all the time, is almost exactly the same as the "you have received an update to your quest objective" noise that Bioshock plays when the pop-up comes.
Ah. Well, that's actually kind of really annoying, especially if you have a phone that already makes that noise, so then you're wondering, is it the phone or is it the game?
Yeah. No, it's just slightly, like, more resonant. It's like those two tones being played, but, like, by a bigger bell. And other than that, it's basically the same thing.
Ah. All right. Welcome to episode 212.
Palindrome.
Of the Cripple System podcast.
A man, a plan, a canal, Panama. Jesus, Nathan.
My name is Andy. And I play Kator.
Go hang a lasagna. I'm a salami hog. The other way around. Man, my brain's not working right now. Sorry, I'm distracted. But go hang a salami. I'm a lasagna hog is what I meant to say, because that's a palindrome.
Okay. My name is Jake, and I'm currently playing Grimkin, but I'm also thinking a lot about trolls.
I'll get this one.
Oh, yeah, no selling your shit on this podcast.
I'll get this one.
No worries.
I, madame, I made radio, so I dared. Am I mad? Am I? Yes, got that one on the first try. I'm Nathan, and in theory, I play Minions and Convergence.
Minions?
Minions. Penguins. It's like, it's
Penguins.
Like, it's, yeah. Minions is how Bandicoot Cabbage Patch says Minions.
Yes. Wings.
Benadryl, come in my pants.
Ugh. I probably should have taken a lot of Benadryl over this last week. I have been sick for the last couple of days. So welcome to my sickness, guys.
Yay! Hey! Come on, kid up. Get down with the sickness.
Thanks for telling us.
No. Well, I've been over it, though. So
yeah,
that's when it's most catchy, right? Is when it's right when it's done?
That's fine. You got a pair of fives. Good job, Andy.
My cat buck dice. I need to bring them out. I need some more cat buck
dice. These are terrible dice, right? If I recall correctly. Oh, no. They are good dice. That's good. That's good.
But they just...
Why would they be terrible?
Because people put the logo on the one instead of the six when they're morons.
Oh, yeah, that's the worst.
It is the worst.
You want me to be angry when I see it? Like, you should only do that if you're making dice for Access and Allies.
Yeah.
But not tech roll. Only for combat rolls.
Not for Access and Allies. I guess if you want to make it so the ones are explosions or something.
No, because like you want to be happy when you see the logo.
You want to be happy when you see the logo. And you want to roll low in Access and Allies.
Yeah.
So having your logo on the one means that people will be happy when they see your logo.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because it means their infantry hit.
Exactly.
I'm terrible at Access and Allies.
Fine.
What country do you start with?
I always started with Germany, which I've always really enjoyed. But
you're horrible with Germany?
Well, Germany should be easy, but Japan wins the game. The game hinges. The classic game of Access and Allies hinges on Japan and Russia.
Yeah,
it looks like Germany, America, but that's a lie.
Okay.
And Germany's bone. So what happens is the first turn, if America and England land fighters in Karelia SSR, you know you've lost the game because they don't suck. As soon as they're like, hey, our fighters behind a wall of Russian infantry will murder all the Germans ever, you lose.
Oh, yeah, that happened a lot.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I thought there was like some sort of like secret tech I should have come up with.
Nope, it's basically if they can move into... if if Russia can basically move into Germany, it's bad. They didn't
have to move in. Like, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, if the Allied players, starting players, amateur players, whatever, will be like, I'm America, and I'll put all my troops in American territories. And I'm Russia, and I'll put all my troops in Russian territories. But when they catch on to the fact that they can go into each other's territories, it gets disastrous for you. Because Germany is designed to eventually grind through the wall of nothing but infantry that Russia can put up and eventually break through. But when that wall of nothing but infantry also has a shitload of American and British fighters in it, you have lost.
Yeah. Because I expanded really well, but like I'd hit that level eventually, and just like I just end up contracting
in Caucasus and Karelia. Yeah.
When you can actually Eiffel Tower with Japan, it usually means good times.
Yeah. When we ended up starting, I think with like Anniversary Edition Axis and Allies, and they could do that. But in the really big map of 1940, that one was a lot harder for America to get a ship over there without
the big 6-foot board.
Yeah, without because I think if they landed something in Russia, like something disastrous happened for them. I can't remember what it was, though.
I played a World War One Axis and Allies. It was pretty good.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was interesting. The big thing it had was that each round of combat was only... You would move in, and you would get, like, bogged down. Mm-hmm. So you'd roll one attack and one defense, and it would stay there. And then on the next... You know, if you're involved in combat, you would just do one round then when it was your turn again.
Yeah.
And so combat wasn't always everybody dies immediately, and the combat's over.
Yeah.
It was also, because of that, conflicted territories didn't give income to anybody, so you could deny people income without also gaining it for yourself, so it wasn't just a zero-sum game.
Mm. That was a bad idea. For crunchy sprees into the microphones.
Or into my teeth.
For whatever reason. I'm like, we were just talking about it. They're chewy.
No.
We literally talked about how they weren't chewy.
Correct.
Yeah, they're not chewy.
They're delicious.
Mm-hmm. Announcement.
Everyone's got so much energy today.
Announcement. I mentioned in a previous podcast that it was coming, and it came. The Ticket to Ride app. Not Ticket to Ride. Jesus Christ, Nathan. TTA, not TTR. The Through the Ages app is available on your iOS and Android devices.
I was told by folks on the Muse forums that I would not like it, and I should therefore no longer care about it. That's what they told me. They said, Andy, this is not meant for you. You should not pay attention.
It is a very punishing Euro game.
Yeah, I know.
It is a delicate balancing act of never having enough resources to do anything you want to do.
Mm. I hear it is a great game to play when you have Mo teaching you.
Mm.
That's what I heard.
Because the thing is, if you know what you're doing... There's late game strategies where, like, on the last turn, you can basically gain 100 points.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, in a game where the winner is going to be, like, in 130 range, you know. But yep. And so if you can see that somebody's planning for that swing, it's fine. You're like, oh, Andy only has 30 points, but we see what he's doing. We know what's happening. He's going to do this in age 3. And that's fine if you all know what you're doing because you're like, you have 130, I have 75, Andy has 30, but we're actually tied because we know how endgame scoring works.
Yeah.
But when Mo teaches you, he'll have 30 and be like, oh, look, I only got 30, by the way. Fuck yourself. And then you're like, I'm glad I spent 2 hours playing this game with you, Mo.
That's awful. Quick announcement, the Michigan Cup is on October 5th, 6th, and 7th. We are getting a car to go out there. If you're
just one car
right now. If you're in the Madison area, we can figure something out. We can get a lot more people out there.
If you're in Chicago or Indiana, they'll be driving right past you.
Yeah. Flag us down. Wait for the burp and we'll pull over for you, I guess.
We've been told the mic levels are too high, and I'm sure your burp didn't help with that.
That is probably my bad. Sorry about that. I will adjust them. Where is my mouse?
It's all the way over it's on the other screen, man.
Yeah, no, I realize that sometimes for some odd reason, it just, it's way too high. There we go. We should be back to normal.
Hooray for back to normal.
Yeah. So if you were in headphones there, I'm sorry. This is my bad. The audio podcast will be all normalized.
God. We're just high energy today.
Yeah. What's going on? What's going on?
What?
Okay.
No, but that's fine. So, how you got? You didn't. Never mind. Neither of you went.
No,
Can't talk about the event on yesterday at all.
I can make stuff
you're
up.
Useless. No, fuck you.
Dan beat David. Then Travis, and then beat Josh in the last round after getting a tough roll on Terminus basically to win the game, and then he won the tournament. Good job, Dan.
Josh and Dan were the finals table?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Josh was playing... If you're watching this, text me about that child list. But he was playing a pretty cool child list that I think was like three or four skin and moans in it, mm-hmm. which is a little bit brickier than it usually is. And then Travis was playing a dreamer list with two cage ragers that are designed to just be really beefy endgame beaters, and that's kind of outside of how I've been playing them, but that's pretty cool.
I didn't go to the tournament yesterday because yes. I went to the Kofitz cornhole thing
and I worked
and I lost our team twice, so it was double elimination, and then I ended up going over on cornhole twice.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah. I was part of the team of Old and Violent. And we lost horribly. I did drink a lot there, though, so that was good.
I drank a lot yesterday after work because we went out with some friends, and there's a place in Fitchburg called the Atomic Koi, mm-hmm. and they don't charge as much as other places.
Good times.
Because my tab had three Blue UV and Sprites,
mm-hmm.
two Blind Russians, and a Long Island iced tea.
Okay.
And it was only $26.
That is a remarkable price for drinks.
Like, especially I was going to close my tab, and I'm like, I'm going to be like $40-$50, and they're like $26, and I'm like, you know what? Awesome.
That's similar to when one time, you know, Fridays when it was across the street from the mall, they had like half price appetizers and, you know, mm-hmm. happy hour shots and that. Well, after work, we went there and drank a whole bunch, and then they had a shift change. And the person that came in never picked up the previous person's tab.
Oops.
So we drank a whole bunch more. And then
half price.
And then it was really half price. Quarter Long price. Long Island iced teas.
Applebee's had the half price appetizers and the $2 Long Island iced teas for a while.
Yeah. No, this
they don't do that anymore?
They might. For a they while, might. Means the last time I was at an Applebee's, which, you know, they're not particularly good restaurants.
No, they're not.
I mean, you have Chili's, and Chili's is so much better than mm-hmm. really most other restaurants.
I'm almost positive Chili's and Applebee's are like the exact same restaurant, no. but Chili's is significantly higher quality.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Applebee's might be like a Chili's with a goatee, because it's like yes. the evil version, if yeah, that's what you're getting for.
Yes, that's what I'm going for.
It's like Negaduck versus Darkwing Duck.
I fucking love DuckTales.
Okay.
Sorry to derail that. I just love DuckTales.
Derail? They're in the same universe, canonically speaking.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah?
Gizmo Duck and Launchpad McQuack are in both.
Oh, yeah. Launchpad is like his neighbor, isn't
it? Did Darkwing ever personally make an appearance on DuckTales? I don't think so.
I have to imagine there was a backdoor pilot
at least,
for it,
at least something in there. Probably yeah, some type of small
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, like they probably did like a backdoor pilot episode where it's just like, this is DuckTales, but actually it's Darkwing Duck. And then they do a spinoff.
My mind is going blank. I can't remember the duck vampire.
Duckula, Count Duckula.
Yeah. Was it Count Duckula?
No.
There was Count Duckula. There's also Magica Dispel.
No.
But she didn't have her own TV show.
No. He won't
bite a piece of man because he's a vegetarian. Count Duckula.
No, I'm thinking of, it's from Danger Mouse.
Right.
It was a spinoff of Danger Mouse, and I cannot remember his name. Was it
Duckula? It was Count Duckula. I watched every episode of that show when I was a kid.
All right.
It was Count Duckula.
All right.
Because it was just Dracula, but they made it a duck instead of a drac.
Correct.
He could have been Count Dracula, because mallards and drakes and whatnot.
Could be a mallard, yeah.
Yeah, but they didn't do that way.
No.
It was just Duckula.
You
not
haven't
to be
seen
confused
Danger
with Banicula, the vampire rabbit.
I do know of Banicula, who would eat a carrot and like suck it dry, so like white, if I remember correctly.
You know, sucks a carrot dry, your mom. Snap!
Good one. Nice, up tap. Boosh. Come on. Okay.
How's a turkey?
I'm starting to regret all decisions.
How's a turkey?
For inviting Jake onto
you
the podcast.
You can also do this. For a fist bump, you go figure and go, squid!
No, snail.
Alternatively, you
yeah,
can
I
snail.
I know the snail, sure.
You can snail, and then you can just, like, grab it.
Gale the snail.
What's Gale the snail?
Oh.
See, why do you guys still get angry at me not knowing these things? Like,
well, this one is a modern one. You should know Gale the snail.
Oh, I'm just a shut-in, then.
Like, yeah. That's from Always Sunny.
Yeah.
Oh, I've never watched Always Sunny. Oh,
son of a bitch! What's your spaghetti policy here? I eat Snickers all the time, dude.
Okay.
Every time I peel a Snicker off of fruit, I just think, I eat Snickers all the time.
So, more announcements. Do we have any other?
No, I don't.
There's War Machine weekend coming
up. Yeah, in November, I assume.
Yep. First weekend in November.
Yep.
And then there's a Who's the Boss that's coming in December.
Yeah.
I don't know full details 9th, on that.
Right?
December 9th. Yep. Don't know full details yet.
Well, we know a lot of details. It's going to be December 9th. It's going to be the...
At the Elks Lodge.
At the Elks Lodge where the WITC was, which everybody who went there and everybody who listened to any of the podcasts about it heard is a great location.
Yep.
Countercharge did a nice podcast about the WITC that was really interesting.
Really?
Yeah, they talked about how good of a time they had. And sadly, Tobias... God, I'm blanking on his last name right now, but he's from the Iowa area. His crew, they were Team Mayhem. They had a blast, but they said that they probably wouldn't come next year because with the driving, it ended up being like a 24-hour day for them to drive, play, and then drive back. And if we split it to 2 days, then they have to pay for hotels, and that becomes an expensive day, which is a shame. But I'm glad they had a good time. But the point is, Elks Lodge, December 9th, it's going to be the Merry Mayhem donation. Not Merry Mayhem, I'm sorry. The Toys for Tots Toys donation for Tots. Drive.
Yep, for Who's the Boss.
I mean, really, it seems like we have all the information.
Well, kind of. I don't know like behind the scenes information.
Sure,
and that's something that's important for us here too.
But date and format, we know
date and format.
You don't necessarily know default entry fee, but
yeah, correct. And normally, I usually cook out for folks there, and that would definitely be different for if we're having it at the Elks Lodge.
Right.
Their food was super good at the Elks Lodge for the WITC, and really cheap too. It was nice.
Yeah, yep. And because that's what you could possibly do. It'd be similar to the cookout was because pretty much every meal at the Elks Lodge was like $5, mm-hmm. and so you could easily just if the entry is like let's say $10, you would turn and give half that entry fee to the Elks Lodge and just say everybody gets one free meal.
I think for Who's the Boss, we always had it be as a standard 20. I think it was
20. Yeah, whatever. The point is, you could easily take a portion of that and pay for people's meals, so the food would be included just like it was when you would grill.
They
out.
Get a meal ticket or a drink ticket or something, depending on how they want to live.
Probably not a drink ticket.
The drinks are cheaper than the meals, so they get one ticket, and it's their choice how they spend it.
On a meal or a drink.
Yeah. Which is more important to you, a Blind Russian or some corn dogs?
Well, Blind Russian has definitely got probably more... does it have more calories?
No.
The corn dogs were delicious.
Yeah, those were homemade corn dogs, too. Oh. Yeah. Those were not like store-bought, frozen, and then unfrozen for your pleasure. But yeah, we don't really have that much other information. I can't think of anything else really to talk about.
Well, I think now that you said it's $20, you've given out literally all the information. There's nothing left.
Well, I was thinking for more announcements besides Who's the Boss.
I've got
some sponsors for Who's the Boss, though, because originally they were sponsors for the Frankenstein event that never occurred.
Oh, yeah.
So sorry, Andy.
What? Why are you apologizing for that?
It's me. I can apologize for things.
It had nothing to do with you. It had everything to do with a certain local game store deciding that they're going to have an event where they're going to make money at.
Yeah, how dare
instead
they?
Instead of my event.
Well, I mean, I just apologize a lot.
How rude.
Oh, I have to move my car.
Yeah.
Damn it, Jake.
Oh, yeah. So if you're, Jake, park on my side.
Aggie's watching. She's in the chat. Hi, Aggie.
Hey, I've got Catbuck dice. They're awesome.
So we can talk while Jake's gone. Let's talk about. Did you play any Tales from the Borderland? I saw it was on your thing.
I no.
Okay then. No. So much for that.
No, Brian said he. I will not deal with ultimatums. Brian said he's not coming back because until I start playing Tales from the Borderlands until I complete it, and I'm like no.
That's fair. I'll just play it instead. I'll play through it again.
Yeah, you can play it in my behalf.
No, I'll play it on my behalf.
No, on my behalf.
Nope.
And then we can tell Brian that I completed it.
Nope.
I bought Loader Bot, a tuxedo. It was awesome.
Liar.
And then he came back and he was awesome. And he's the best part of the whole thing is Loader Bot. And Loader Bot, Loader Bot, Loader Bot.
You would love Gordis.
I don't know who Gordis is.
I know you don't know who Gordis is, but I'm telling you.
I'm up to the point in the game right now, and spoilers for everybody who has not played it, but I'm up to past the racing portion, which I think is still in the first chapter.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when he's trying to choke out the bandit. Hilarious.
That's before that.
Yeah, I know, but that's hilarious.
Yeah.
What am I saying? I was going to say, no, you would love Gordas. Even saying that Gordas is a character is a mild spoiler, but that's okay. Because, like, they hear about Gordas, and they're like, what's Gordas? And it turns out to be a character, so now you know that much. But okay. The point is, you will love Gordas. It's the cat bug of Tales from the Borderlands.
Okay.
Whoa.
There's somebody with some awesome graphics on our
It's Lazy our Hobo using Leet Speak. He has zeros instead of his O's like a hacksaw. He hacks. Hacksaws. Him and Angelina Jolie go through the cyber crimes.
Oh, God.
Hacks or the phones.
Hackers is a great movie.
Hackers is a delightfully terrible movie. It is so bad.
If I want my...
It's such a glorious way. Like, that's what they thought the internet would be.
Yeah. It is one of those movies that's, like, so terrible, it, like, loops back onto itself and becomes amazing because of it.
Like, Johnny Mnemonic is the other great hacking movie from the 90s that is batshit insane. With a hacking dolphin?
Yes.
No, but the idea, though, of using people as storage devices makes sense.
And he's got like 32 kilobytes, man. That's a lot of storage up there in Johnny Mnemonic's brain.
I mean, yeah.
Wow.
It's got Henry Rollins in it, though.
Less than a floppy.
I will. It's so Arctic
Don't
Circle.
Don't you talk about his floppy? Keanu Reeves' floppy.
So Arctic Circle, I will not meet Brian's demands. That will not happen.
What are Brian's demands?
Brian's demands for him to return to the podcast are for me to play Tales from the Borderlands.
You have it loaded up on the PS4 downstairs.
It is. It is loaded.
To be fair, he did not say if you finished it, he would return. He just said that he definitely would not return before you finished it.
Correct. This is my way of getting rid of Brian.
I don't think you need to get rid of Brian.
Oh.
How come Twitch told us Arctic Circle started watching, and then it has like a picture of Rachel Ray waving to us?
Is that Rachel Ray?
I don't know who it is. It's some lady waving.
I don't know who it is.
That is high quality podcast right now.
It is full of energy and full of entertainment.
I just went to Noodles and Company. I got their spicy Korean beef noodles, and it was pretty good. It was a good level of spice. It was a little mild, and then I got to the sauce that was all down at the bottom, and the sauce was like, hey, buddy, you've been missing me. And it was good stuff.
I went to Popeyes earlier today, and I wanted to come over and say hi to you, but you were gone.
I was at work like a loser.
Oh, womp.
I suck, but that's okay.
Have you been doing anything recently?
I've been playing a metric fuck ton of Heroes of the Storm.
You've been doing that?
Lots of Heroes of the Storm.
We played the other day, which was amazing.
And then I played with Marshall the next day, and then I played with Marshall and Chris the day after. Only one game with Chris, but we played a bunch. I didn't play any yesterday, which made me sad, but I'll play some today because I have a stim pack going on.
Oh, yeah,
don't want to waste that stim pack.
I have been playing a metric fuck ton of Grand Theft Auto V.
Why?
Why? Because it's awesome.
Is it?
It is. It is actually a lot of fun. When I owned it on the PS3, because I bought that game twice now. It's stupid of me. When I owned it on the PS3, I beat the single player all the way through. Only played maybe about like a half hour of online before I said, fuck this shit, I'm done. I've been playing online with Chris now, and I've got my motorcycle club already created. We've got our motorcycle clubhouse. Do you want to hear the motorcycle club name?
Sure.
Because it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's Sofa King Gang.
Sure.
Couldn't fit any other things in
it. So what's amazing about it?
It's Sofa King
Gang. The fact that it's an old joke?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I just don't get it then.
You don't? Sofa King Gang.
Okay.
Just say it.
Sofa King Gang.
It works.
Are you not grasping?
No, I'm not.
How about you pause after the first half of the first word and then say the rest of it?
So.
Jesus, Quimby. Good Lord. Man.
Yo, what up? Yes, I am the legendary Quimby.
No.
The infamous El Guapo? Infamous? Oh, Lord.
So I've been playing that, having a lot of fun with Chris. If you guys want to play, just look me up.
No, Heroes of the Storm.
If you guys want to play, look me up.
Major Tusk. Heroes of the Storm.
I'm Major Tusk on the GTAs.
Yeah, I don't.
My current plan is to get all the free-to-play heroes up to 5, and then start working on the heroes I own. And then when the free-to-play heroes cycle, I'll get those guys up to 5 and then go back to working on the ones I own.
It's a long process.
That's fine. And eventually I'll have everybody up to 5, and then I'll repeat the process going to 10, and then I'll repeat it going to 15.
You'll be okay.
Yeah. Well, and I'll do that for like a month and a half, and then I'll never play the game again, because that's how I do my addictions. It's I get addicted to a game for like 2 months, and then I stop playing it forever.
You have to stop. You don't have to stop playing it forever.
No, I burn out, and then I go, fuck it.
Oh, that's no fun.
I just move on to another game. There's so many games.
That's true.
Like, that's the issue I'm having right now playing video games, is there's just so much content out there, I don't know what to do with it. Especially since I've gotten, like, since I've moved to Madison in between Nate, Marshall, and Keith, there's apparently a whole generation of amazing JRPGs that I didn't know about. And those are all like 100-hour monster things.
Do you have I Am Setsuna?
I do, but I haven't had any time to play it because I'm too busy playing through the back catalog of all of Final Fantasy.
Like,
you should play like 4 of the Final Fantasy. Actually, you know what?
You could probably just get away with doing...
Like, I skipped to the 3rd one because Marshall said he'd punch me if I played the first two. And
first one's fine. I mean, the first one is basically just a grind fest. Third one is, I mean, not the third one. The sixth one is necessary.
Yeah. No. I was told, like, I can skip to the sixth one to do 6, 7.
Fuck.
8.
You. Fuck. You.
What did I do this time?
You do not skip 4.
I was told that I could.
By who?
I think Marshall's.
I will literally kill Marshall.
Don't kill Marshall. He's delightful.
How the fuck dare he tell us?
4 is really good.
1 is a classic, and then, you know, blah, blah, genre defined, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it holds, it's a relatively fun game.
Yeah.
A neat thing about it is that your party, there are 6 different characters, right? There's Black Mage, White Mage, Red Mage, Fighter, Thief, and Monk. Yeah, so 6 different characters, and you make a team of 4.
Yeah.
And you can do 4 fighters, you can do 4 different guys, but you obviously can't have all 6. And so there's replayability to the game depending on what party you make, which is really cool. Like, you know, 4 red mages or no mages at all. Like, interesting stuff. So that holds up well. 2 is a bit rough. It has some good ideas. 3 is pretty solid, but people don't really know it in America. So I could see skipping those just because, but 1 holds up. 1 still holds up.
1 still holds up. 2 and 3 are basically the last ones that were on the NES and then the Super Nintendo, which was 4.
Yeah.
That is our Final Fantasy 2.
Yeah. 4 is amazing. There's some good characters in it. There's someone named Rydia who's okay. And then 5 is woefully underappreciated, but 5 is a good game as well. And then 6 is the big one, and 7 is the other big one.
Yeah.
But I would skipping the first 3, I can get, but you should not skip 4 or 5.
Yeah, because it was
5 is Gilgamesh, the first introduction of Gilgamesh into Final Fantasy, and he's in like almost every game after some form.
Very unique job system in 5 as well.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. What was the job system in 5?
I don't remember.
The fact that it introduced the job system.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Which is a mainstay of the Final Fantasy series in many of its spin-offs since then.
Yeah, I had it in the collection for the PlayStation, I think. They had a remake of 5.
I have them all on Steam that are available on Steam. I don't think the first 2 are on Steam, though. I can't recall, though.
4. You need, oh, my God. You have to play 4.
All right, I'll just play 4 then.
Yeah, you can avoid 8, because 8 sucks ass.
I've been like from the people I've talked to about them, that 8 is this like really ambitious, complete misfire.
Correct.
A noble failure, I think, is what Keith called it.
But it's still a failure, so it is still skippable.
Yeah.
It's not high quality. I actually really enjoy it. I defend it, but it is a failure. It has some egregious flaws in it.
Yeah.
The biggest error it did...
Card game.
No, the card game's fine.
The card game is fun.
The card game in it is actually really... It has one of the best side card games. 9 is a step back, because 9 is the same card game as 8, except with randomness in the cards, so you can't even intelligently play cards, and the rules aren't even explained to you in the game, so you have to figure out how to play in the first place. It's a nightmare. But in it, the card game in 8 is solid. The issue with 8 is... So it got rid of a whole bunch of trappings of JRPGs. It's like, oh, money from random fights. Why does a wolf have a wallet? That's stupid. So instead, you're a mercenary. You get paid every like hour of gameplay. Your paycheck just comes in. You know, that makes sense. And just little things like that. You don't have armor or weapons. I don't think you have weapons.
You have weapons, but you build them from like stuff you find in magazines.
Yeah, that might be thing. But the point is, the junction system was the big one, and the magic system. So the way it worked was spells didn't have like an MP cost or anything like that, and there was no specific spellcasters. Everybody could steal spells from enemies, and every enemy would have a spell that they carry, and you'd use the draw system. You'd pull a spell from it, and then you'd get like, you know, 4 to 6 of them, and you could have up to 99 of a spell. So issue one is the first thing you do is you go to fight some random goblin, and instead of killing it, you spend 20 minutes having every one of your characters draw 99 of its spell from it.
Yeah.
So that's boring as fuck.
Yeah.
Secondly, there are spells that only bosses have, and if you forget to draw from that boss, sucks to be you, like the summons and stuff. But even ignoring that, so the drawing is boring as hell. Then the junction system was you take a spell and you like link it to an attribute. You're like, I'll take the Fire Aga spell and I'll link it to my defense. And so my defense is up because of it, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And that's cool, except it has a higher benefit the more you have of that spell. So having 50 of that spell is half as good as having 99 of that spell, which means you guess what you never, ever do in Final Fantasy VIII?
Cast a spell.
Cast a spell.
Yeah.
So all you do is draw as many spells as you can from every enemy and then never use them. Yeah.
I've actually been doing a playthrough with Marshall. I've just been watching him play and talking about the game because the world is interesting and the characters are interesting. It's weird and different than a lot of the Final Fantasy games I've played before.
It is.
But one thing he was doing is you would intentionally keep his characters on really low health and then like cancel every time an action came up until you could do your limit break.
Yep.
And basically he never made any attack that wasn't the limit break.
Right.
Which seems...
Because the lower health you are, the higher odds your limit break comes, but you can just hit the cancel button to have it re-roll that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really dumb.
Yeah, so dumb.
But no, four is great. Five is an obscure missed, should have been a classic because it never came out in America until like a decade ago.
Yeah.
Six is the big classic, so seven. Eight's a failure. Nine's my favorite, and then 10 was a big one, of course. Yeah.
I love 10. That was one of the first games I ever like got really invested in. I think I was like 8 or something when it came out, and it was a big deal for me, like playing it and like exploring this world. So that's like my entry point to the Final Fantasy games.
If I had to pick five that people should play, it would be 4, 6, 7, 9, 10.
Yeah,
and that's not counting like tactics and spinoffs like that.
Yeah, I don't consider those tactics as being a Final Fantasy game. It's its own style of game.
Yeah,
which I still claim is king of that pile is Vandal Hearts.
Yeah.
I love that game.
Of the Final Fantasy games I've played, the only one I actively have like hated is Final Fantasy 13 because it has like two of the most annoying characters I've ever seen in any video game.
It's got Chocobro.
I did like
Doesn't it have Navi in it though?
It doesn't have Navi in it, but Snow is the most annoying character who's ever lived, followed closely by Vanille, whose voice basically sounds like someone got high on helium and talked for an hour. And then it auto battles, so you didn't even really play the game, and it was a series of corridors.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about that one. It's
quite bad.
In Vandal Hearts, there's a mission about halfway through where there's a spot where if you don't progress past that spot, the next wave of enemies won't attack you, so you can wait infinitely long. And there's a spot that if you stand on it, gives you mana back. And so you have your healers stand on there and just cast heal every turn. And you level up from doing actions. And so both your healers get to level 99 before you finish that mission. And then the way that the mechanics work, your other guys will also get to level 99 by interacting with them. So that's how you get to max level by the end of the game. True story.
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, it's fine, trick.
most missions in Vandal Hearts, you're on a time limit, though. You have to complete it in a certain amount of time. Probably one of the worst ones, probably my favorite mission out of there, is the one where you have to deal with all the people turning into zombies.
Interlopers. Yeah. Interlopers.
It is an amazing board because you have to basically, you have to rush the clock because you have to block off certain spots. They'll prevent the
They're AIs. Chasing you, but you don't want to kill them because they're innocent people who are being mind controlled.
Oh, that's like that one level in Mass Effect 1.
Maybe.
Yeah, they get all taken over
by the interesting thing about Vandal Hearts is that there are X levels. Like, there aren't random battles. It's a story, and you go through it, and each part is a mission, and then the game ends.
Yeah.
It's not like tactics where you can go do random levels to level up and whatnot, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
The sequel, did you ever play Vandal Hearts 2?
I've I played a little bit of that. I got there was a downloadable version or a new game that came out for the Xbox 360 arcade that I started, and then Jim, in his 2-3 years of unemployment, decided that he was going to play it, and then I didn't get to play it because Jim had already progressed so far into the game.
The interesting thing it did that I haven't seen other grid-based tactic games do was that you and the opposing team would it, like in each of the action cues, it wouldn't necessarily be one person that would go. Your people would be ranked, and then the opposing team would also be ranked. And so depending on who outnumbered the other, you know, you wouldn't necessarily get, both get somebody every turn, but every turn...
It was similar
so,
to...
But those things, who the people on the same action would trigger at the same time. So if you wanted to attack somebody who was activating at the same time as the person you were trying to attack with, you had to guess where they were going to move to, and then you would move and attack that currently empty square so that if you predicted correctly, you would run alongside them and hit them as they tried to do their action. It was kind of neat.
Yeah, it was for Vandal Hearts 2.
Yeah, that was Vandal Hearts 2.
Yeah, I did not play that, though. Oh,
four. You don't skip four, you don't motherfucker. Four.
Okay, I won't.
You son of a bitch. You got fucking don't skip four.
Okay, I won't. I haven't even started on this quest yet.
Damn it.
So angry. Did you play Final Fantasy 15?
No.
Oh.
I played 10-2,
and it was so bad I stopped playing Final Fantasy games, except I played 12? 11 was the MMORPG, right?
Yes, 12.
12 had Fran and Balthazar, right?
Yes.
Not Balthazar, Balthier. Balthier.
Yes. That one is really good. They just
Mr. Belvedere.
Yeah, Fran and Brocktoon.
Can Fran Drescher and Mr. Belvedere in the same
episode? Excuse me. Mr. Belvedere fan club members refer to him as Brocktoon. That is our secret name for Mr. Belvedere. Have you not seen the Mr. Belvedere fan club sketch?
No.
It is a Tom Hanks Saturday Night Live sketch, and remind me to show it to you before I leave after this. It is one of my favorite things ever.
All right.
The least absurd part of this sketch is that they, as a fan club, decide that they need a secret name for Mr. Belvedere, and they settle on Brocktoon.
All right.
Vagrant Story, yes. Vagrant Story is a really neat game. It uses the semi-real-time pausable mechanic that Final Fantasy XII ended up using.
Yeah.
I liked Vagrant Story a lot.
They just remade Final Fantasy XII, and they changed it so that instead of everyone being on the same like license board, as I think what they called it, instead of everyone being on the same board, you pick two boards that are a different class, and based on that board, you kind of develop the character so everyone can choose it. But once you've picked your board, there is no going back. So your characters are always going to be very distinct and very different from each other.
Hmm. But there's two boards, and so your people, you could have all your people choose the same board.
Yes.
You know, so you will have some overlap. You just, each of your characters, you're choosing which board they're on.
There are 6 characters and 12 boards, so like in theory,
Is it each character has 2 boards that are unique to them and they choose between?
No. They can choose 2 boards of the 12 available.
Right.
You can have people select the same board.
So I could just use 2 of the boards for all 6 of my people.
You could.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't see why you would, but you
but
know.
I could.
Yes.
Good old.
And then Final Fantasy 15 actually has a lot in common with Final Fantasy 8. You have finite magic resources. The main character is actually the only one who can use magic because it's like this. It's way more powerful than just normal attacks. But much like Final Fantasy 8, it kind of shits itself. But I love that game.
The magic in Final Fantasy 1 was, well, it's not unique because it was a blatant ripoff of Dungeons and Dragons. But it's different from all the other ones where you have. You know, as a mage, as you leveled up, you would memorize X spells.
Yeah.
So you could have like 2 level 1 spells and 1 level 2 spell, and then as you level up, you'd get more as each level and unlock further levels. That's how Final Fantasy 1 worked with it. And then when your characters would rest in a tent or at a town or whatever, they would get those, instead of MP, they would just get those uses back.
Oh, yeah. So that is just D&D.
Yeah, it was straight. It was D&D, but so instead of memorizing specific spells, your character would have like 3 or 4 level 1 spells that they had access to, and then they would have like 6 castings. And so each time, you know, you could cast Cure 6 times, you could cast Light 3 and Cure 3 and so on.
Yeah.
So it's more almost like a, sorcerers in D&D that can use any spell they want. They don't have to pre-memorize.
Yeah, but you can only choose, in 5th edition, you can only choose like 9 spells to know. You can
Nathan's
never
talking about second edition.
Well, no, I'm not saying. I mean, I'm talking nebulously. Like, that's the shtick with sorcerers. Because this obviously isn't directly from any of them.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. It's like, you have X spells that you know, mm-hmm. but you don't have to pre-devote which ones your uses are for.
No.
Like you would with a mage in D&D.
Yes.
So, yeah, there, it was more like sorcerers was how mages work in Final Fantasy 1, where you'd have a pool of spells you knew, and then you would use up spell casting.
That's pretty cool.
Also, it had, like, RoboCop 2 in it. It had the giant fucking... It was more like Ed 209, rather, sorry. Ed 209 was
for Final Fantasy
1. Final Fantasy 1, there was the final... The second-to-last dungeon, there was a big bridge that led to the exit, and on that bridge, you had, like, a 1 in 100 chance of encountering basically Ed 209. It was this massive, gun-armed nuclear launch. No, it was called... It had some, like, robot numbers thing. Or it's called just like Mega Nuke or something stupid. I'll check.
Yeah. I think like the Final Fantasy games, like every single one of them is, I think, different enough to be enjoyable. But like, yeah, there are some misfires, which is weird. Like, why would you say 5 is
scary? Warmech, that was his name. What?
If you chose 5, it was like what? 4, 6, 7, 9, 10?
5 is a good game, but Americans never played 5, so it's not necessarily a big deal to miss 5, because everybody else also missed 5. But it's a good game that is worth playing.
Okay.
But as far as, like, talking to other people about playing Final Fantasy games, 90% of Americans will go, I played Final Fantasy 5, and they go, wuh.
Oh, okay.
What?
Yeah.
No, what? No, what? No, Americans basically say I played Final Fantasy 2 and 3.
Well, except by now they know that those are actually 4 and 6.
Correct.
Like, they've caught on to that, but the vast majority of Americans have never played 5.
Correct.
They've played 4 and 6, but they think they're called 2 and 3, and now they know they're 4 and 6, but either way, they never played 5.
Correct.
Because 5, I really think, did not come out until the PlayStation Final Fantasy Chronicles games started coming out.
When it
two
came
packs.
In the U.S. Yeah.
So
yeah.
That must have been really jarring when Final Fantasy 7 came out.
Yeah, it was Final Fantasy, Final Fantasy 2, Final Fantasy 3, Final Fantasy 7.
Yep,
but we knew, like, by the time 7 came out, they're like, by the way, that was actually 4 and 6. Like, we knew that.
Which one was Final Fantasy 1? Was that 3?
No,
it was 1.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but for us, basically...
1, 4, and 6 were 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
Yep. So 1 came out for the Nintendo or the Famicom over there. Yeah. 2 and 3 came out...
Also for the Famicom.
Yep, for there. Never came out to the U.S. 2 was R... or their 4 was R2.
Kind of. The R2-D2?
Yes.
Slightly for modified. Final Fantasy 2 America is an easy version of Final Fantasy 4. They made some stuff weaker, and then specifically, like, they upgraded, like, all of the... there were...
Is that the same? I thought it was maybe the
It was slightly different. No. Our version was easier. The biggest ones was stuff like the all of the healing. There was an item that healed, like, all status ailments. Mm-hmm. I think it was Tincture. It healed, like, all status ailments. In Japan, there was, like, different ones for separate status ailments and stuff like that. But that's common. It's kind of like how Mega Man 2 had an easy mode and a hard mode. And in Japan, it was just the hard mode was the only mode you played that game on. They thought they needed to dumb stuff down for Americans.
Yeah.
They were right.
Oh.
No.
Play 4. I love 4!
Okay. I'll go home.
So good.
I'll text you about it.
I can lend you 5.
I have...
Do you have a PS2?
No. What I have is a Steam account, and I have all of them except for 1 and 2 on the Steam account.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I have the re-release of 13...
Question.
The re-release of 12 on my PS4.
Quick question, then. So you have it on... You have, like, 9?
Yeah.
Have you played 9?
No.
Okay. I'm very curious to know how the loading screens are on PC, because they fuck. I tried playing 9 going backwards, and this is after I've been through, you know, already on Xbox and that. So I'm used to Xbox loading screens, and it was so frustrating to go back to PS1 days.
Yeah. 7, 8, and 9. Yeah.
Of waiting 30 seconds for every single battle to load.
Yeah.
And I'm curious how that works on the PC, if it's really
have
quick.
To imagine because they did some changes to the games. I think what most people I've seen comment on is that the loading screens are faster. And the other one is that they've changed the music, which like some people consider like this massive sacrilege.
I remember Keith talking to me about, I think it was playing, maybe it was 9. Keith played through some game on Steam, but he was playing on an emulator possibly, so that might be the difference. He was playing something on an emulator, and there aren't loading times anymore, but the battle like swoop in cinematic is still there. But you can just fast forward in emulators.
Oh yeah.
So just to the fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was like I said, that was the biggest issue with 9 is I couldn't make it through it because it was infuriating for me to take 30 seconds to load into a screen for me to hit attack and then have me kill the thing and then spend 15 seconds dancing and then 30 seconds more going back out. Yeah. It's like it's like three times the amount of time than the actual battle was. And the battle was trivial.
Yeah. Skies of Arcadia was really annoying about that, too. Because they had this thing where they'd, like, the glass would crack, the screen would crack, and they'd cut to the monster, then it'd cut to you standing there, kind of like doing a little jig, and then they'd cut to the monster again, then back to you. Then you could start making actions, which took forever, and then you would go around stabbing everything for a trivial combat, and then it would be like, it cut to you, like the main character, Vice, I remember his name being, like doing a little dance of victory. Then it cut to your friends doing a little dance of victory. And then finally, 2 minutes of not gameplay later, you could actually, move on.
I'm going to tell you this then. This will be controversial. Go ahead and skip Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you cast a summon spell, and then you go make yourself a sandwich.
Keith was telling you about quad-casting that spell.
If you cast Knights of the Round, you can go to the grocery store to buy the bread and peanut butter and jelly and come back. And you know what? Fuck that. You can go to the grocery store and buy peanuts and raw fruit, come home, grind that into peanut butter, cook the fruit down into the pectin to make your jam, and then make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with that and with the bread that you baked from flour, and then come back in time for the second half of Knights of the Round to finish playing.
Yeah. You could actually put that on a times 9 multiplier.
Yeah,
as well, and you can make
go take a nap.
I can't remember who told me about that.
Have Gogo mimic it.
There's no Gogo in Final Fantasy VII.
Oh yeah, I'm thinking of the wrong game.
You're thinking of 6.
I'm thinking of 6.
Yeah, Keith was telling me one time. I think it was Keith at least. He quadcast that and went out and about around town, then came home for like. There's still another.
That's a whole bit of exaggeration.
No, but it's a good.
Like he went and did something.
3-4 minute summon. Every single time you summon Knights of the Round, eventually you could skip it halfway through. But no,
7 never lets you skip.
No,
that was a big deal with 8 and 9. So 7 you could never skip. Every summon you were just fucking stuck there for 7. 8 made something kind of interesting, which was the first time you summoned it was full length and. No, it was always full length. I'm sorry. 8 was always full length, but yes, it was action. You would do like a little quick time event during the summon, and the better you did, the more damage it did. So at least you were still engaged with the game.
Yes.
9, the first time you summon, it would do a full big cinematic thing. You go, whoa, that's fucking cool. And then 99% of the time after that, it would do just a quick one.
Oh, that's
like,
cool.
Like, for example, like Bahamut 0. Like, it would rage this chunk into the sky, and he'd roar and rah, and he'd shoot his fire, and everything would explode. It'd be like this 45-second long sequence. But the future summons would just be a fireball hit him. And it would be the same fireball he used in the big cinematic, but it would just be the shortcut.
Just from off screen.
But 1 out of 100 times, it would do the full cinematic again, but it would do like triple damage. It was like a critical hit. And so you'd be excited again. You'd be like, yeah, I got a fucking critical hit.
Yeah.
You got so sick of Knights of the Round in 7, though.
Yeah.
So even not even that, even the early ones, because they got longer and longer the stronger they got. And fuck.
I do remember the first time I played Final Fantasy X. I'm like, oh, it's so cool. Like this. This like orb comes out of the ground, and then Infrit pops out of that orb and like beats the hell out of them, and that was really cool in 10. What? And then
if what? Ifrit?
Yeah, Ifrit.
Okay.
But at least like they come out.
Sorry.
They have the big summoning sequence, but then their individual attacks are relatively quick.
Yeah, but what I ended up doing is that you go into the menu and go into settings. You can like turn it from full length to quick, and that's just they just like hop from off screen, just like a character switch. I'm like, oh, this is much better. It was cool the first time, but like. After the 6th or 7th time I did this, I'm like, oh, this is a little dull.
But at least, even with the full length, they would do the full length thing to be summoned, but then they would stay out there, because that's how 10 works.
Yeah.
And their individual attacks would be relatively quick.
Yeah.
7 is like every time they attacked, they did that full summon animation again.
Oh, that sounds
that
like hell.
Is what 7 is like. Because they don't come out like a party. They are just a single cast spell okay. that does that entire summoning thing. Well, you've seen Marshall playing 8. Has he ever summoned anything?
No.
Okay, never mind.
I asked him once why he never summoned anything. He's like, it's better
we,
to just
we
be...
We only have finite life on this planet.
Yeah. He's like, it's better to just be low health than just like auto try to get...
Marshall is playing Final Fantasy 8 for the plot. Which, yes. number one, is also still insane. But number two, the plot is probably the best part of Final Fantasy 8, and that's saying a lot. Oh, my Lord. Freaking... Oh, I just want to complain about part of the plot of that, but you're watching a playthrough of it now, so I
yeah.
won't spoil it.
We've been on break for a little while, but we're going to get back to it soon because I'm no longer working insane hours.
Such a... Okay, never mind. I got it out of my system.
Okay.
I won't spoil a big twist for you.
In like 4 weeks, when me and Marshall are completed with the game, you can freak out.
When who's?
Marshall and I. I hate you.
Oh, did you start Knights of the Round? Sure.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Because it's 13 of them, right? It's all 13?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So long. So, yeah, boom. Sure are hitting you. And just quadcast that motherfucker. Yeah.
Hey.
7, 8, and 9 will all suffer from that because 7, 8, and 9 are all going to have those loading times.
Okay.
I just remember it being more elaborate. My memory
it's
definitely doesn't
remember now with all the swirling through space yeah. and everything, but it's dated graphics.
Oh, yeah. Basically, somebody was asking what I was doing. I was going to try to show Knights of the Round on the stream, but I decided not to.
Now you're just watching it.
Not just watching
it. Oh, there
own.
Comes Arthur to finish it off. Look how badass Arthur is. Hit him with Excalibur.
Is it still going?
Yeah. Well,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's still going.
It's like Jesus. A minute and a half summon. That's, yeah.
Yeah, so you would literally go, you would quadcast and you would leave for 6 minutes. Yeah. It's really
And then
neat.
Bad enough that boss would still be alive when you're back.
Yeah.
Fuck. Fuck bosses back then.
But there's,
wait, that sounded weird.
Yeah, fuck them. There's so many good... There's such good stuff in Final Fantasy 7 and 9, though, that they're worth suffering through the PlayStation 1 loading times. They really are.
I just haven't played them. I honestly haven't played a Final Fantasy game in a very long time. I think the last role-playing game I actually sat down and played part of, and it's not even really considered a role-playing game, is Fallout 4.
Sure.
I don't know if I can make it through those games. Cause
are you gonna get an SNES Classic? Because that has FF6 on it.
It does.
Yeah.
I really want to get a...
If nothing else, at least play The Witcher 3.
No.
That game is incredible. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. so good.
Andy doesn't like things that are good.
I couldn't make it through Fallout 4. Because there was so much shit to do. And I've already heard about Brian
Witcher
complaining about
Witcher 3.
Witcher
3 has almost no content.
Yeah,
it has almost no content.
It's super light.
Yeah, yeah. Brian's talking is like, I've put 1,200 hours into this thing, and I still haven't even got 25% of this game done yet.
But, first of all, I mean, you're like that with WoW, right?
Yeah, so, man, yeah but dude, can I
all,
collect kitties in there?
Unlike...
Yes.
No.
Gwent?
Sure, you can play Gwent.
Yeah, I'm not going to play a card game.
But what you can do is you and your Witcher buddies get drunk, cross-dress, and prank call wizards on their magic mirrors.
Oh, yeah, that is pretty fun.
That's an amazing thing in that game. It's the best. Geralt and three of his Witcher buddies just get hammered, dress up in ladies' clothing, and prank call a wizard on his magic mirror. It's the best. He's like, who is this? Who's calling you? Geralt's just wearing a dress and staggering around. He's like, hello. It's like, thank you. Thank you, CD Projekt Red.
Is your refrigerator running? Hello.
Oh, the other thing that The Witcher 3 has that Final Fantasy 4 doesn't, that Fallout 4 doesn't, is a decent plot and likable main character.
Oh. I really enjoyed my time in Fallout.
I enjoyed it too.
I don't know. I have a hard enough time trying to complete a simple game such as Tales from the Borderlands, which would require me, you know, like a good 10-hour sit through.
No.
Longer?
No. What are they, like half-hour chapters, 45 minutes?
It definitely feels longer than that. I've played the game for a fairly long time, and I'm still in the first chapter.
Even if it's an hour a chapter, there's only 5 chapters.
Yeah.
Okay. It seems like it's longer than
you
that.
Can, I mean, you can check out Prey. That game has some... Prey is a great game. It has some RPG elements in it, but it's going to be shorter, and it's going to be fast. It's kind of like BioShock.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
I just bought a...
You'll get attacked by a shoe.
Spoilers! I just bought a controller for my computer, so I think I'm just going to download a bunch of emulators. I mean, I won't do that because it's not legal.
No, you own all the games already, so it's quite
possible. I actually do, so yeah, that's fine. It's just, yeah.
You just, I mean, you're owning, yeah.
Point is, fuck Nintendo, so.
I did not pick that up.
But how, can these be balanced?
No.
I mean, in theory, they can be. Go ahead and start again.
They're super light.
So if they just cut the plastic and just filled it with foam, they couldn't be balanced, right? Like, just by the natural form, because obviously the plastic weighs more than the foam. So, like, this five side
the five or six
way less.
It.
The five specifically has almost no plastic, whereas the two is almost entirely plastic. So you would think the two would be heavier and would thus make you get fives a lot more. But it is possible for them to have counterbalanced it to keep that into effect. So they could be fair.
I think they just look really cool. And, I mean, like, since they're designed for 40K and that's not a competitive game, it's not a super competitive game.
I just got them because I thought they look cool.
They look fucking sweet. Like, I really like them for that.
I think if they're on a neoprene mat, they would probably be better for bouncing.
Are you...
They seem to hold right in place as soon as you drop them.
Well, it's like I had a big debate with somebody because I had a seven-sided die. Because I had, there was a game called Button Men, which we played a few times, I think. I had the buttons, and it didn't have to be buttons. It was just instead of character sheets, it was buttons, because the idea was that you would wear your character so people would know when you play a match, like at cons or whatever. And I had like 100 of these fucking things. I collected pretty much all of them up to a point. And there were like tie-in ones with other webcomics or whatever. But the point is, the characters each had their own pool of dice they would roll, and some of them had weird numbered dice, like one of them had a seven-sided die. So I got a seven-sided die, and I had this big debate with somebody, because the way it worked was, it was basically like pentagon. It was like a pentagon shape, and then it was X height. And so it had a top, a bottom, and then the five sides around it. And so he was talking about how... It couldn't possibly be random because the face and the bottom were different shapes, right? Because each of those five sides is just a rectangle, but the top and the bottom is a broader pentagram. Not pentagram. Devils weren't coming out.
Or were they?
Pentagon. You son of a bitch!
No, there's a mosquito.
It was a mosquito. I know. I saw it.
I flailed impotently after it. You did not. I kind of flailed after it, though.
I didn't want to hit you hard.
Anyway, but the way I thought, like, and at first it was kind of right, but so here... You don't have a pencil, do you? Well, you have the bin. Let me see your bin. The dice came in. So this spree almost certainly will land on the top or the bottom. It is very unlikely to land on its side.
Correct.
I'm surprised it even stayed on its side.
I'm absolutely floored by that.
It's unlikely to stay on its side after I throw it.
Yes.
This is unlikely to land on its top or bottom.
Yes.
It's extremely likely to land on its side.
Yes.
So at some point between spree and die bin is an exact correct balance where the sides are just as likely as the top and the bottom.
Yeah.
And so with that in mind, you can make any number of sides dice with a coin of some thickness with any number of sides around it. Like you can make an eight-sided coin with a front and a top and bottom, and it would be a randomized 10-sided die as long as you got the height correct.
Yeah.
Sure.
Slam on the table with your dice cup and piss you off more.
That's perfectly fine.
No, but like, even if the dice aren't completely perfectly balanced, I mean, they still look cool, and the game is more about the visual and the hobby aspect of it.
It is a five. I don't know. I'm rolling relatively random. Like I said, on its face, they'd obviously not be random, which makes me assume they must have put some effort into balancing them.
I'm rolling a lot of fives and sixes.
I rolled ones and two. Like, that's twos, threes.
That's also you, Jake.
That is true. Jake rolling dice. That's one, three, four.
I'm not four, that four, lucky, six. Guys.
Two, three. That's a six?
Yep.
Yeah, that's a six. Do the Slaanesh ones just have cocks all over them?
No.
Oh, that'd be great. Slimy.
No, no, they don't. They don't actually. I don't think they came up with some for the other ones. This is the first time I've seen like a product from them that I'm like, ooh, I have to own these. Yeah. It's only $20.
The only other, it's like Slaanesh, and then there's like Khorne, right?
Slaanesh, Khorne, Tzeentch, and Nurgle.
Okay. What is Tzeentch?
Tzeentch is the god of magic.
Change, I think, it's like randomness.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, they're all chaos gods, but yeah. Most of them, they mean chaos as in, like, basically, they mean evil. Like,
yeah.
There's nothing chaotic. Well, I guess disease is some random, but the point is, like, Khorne is violence and death, and Nurgle is blight and disease, and Tzeentch is really just, here's random shit.
Oh.
You know, like, in, you saw Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2?
Yes.
Like, when they go through the jumps and their faces all getting, like, boogie wet random?
Yeah.
Like, that's Tzeentch right there.
Oh, okay.
Khorne, they would just go insane and eat each other's faces.
Yeah, Khorne are basically the
berserkers.
Reavers.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Khorne's Reavers, and yeah.
Very, very much like the Reavers.
Yeah. Because I played 40K for, like, a hot 2 months. Maybe like for 2 months just before I was getting like bored with, like, there wasn't the competitive scene I was really looking for. It felt like a lot of, I don't know, people built like winning or losing on list selection.
Yeah, I mean,
or not really list selection, it's almost like point selection.
Well, 40K less so than fantasy for a while had lots of really, like, because of the way that the armies would come out, like, you would just have demons and just not lose if you face certain people because they could just answer you. But not like really. You said, well,
that's insane.
As you just said, and as is the thing, you were never supposed to be playing it competitively.
Okay.
You know, they, for better or for worse, Games Workshop wanted two friends to sit down and play a game and understand that the goal for both of them was to have fun.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The goal was not for one of them to win, okay, you know, yeah. And that's, you know, not my personality type, which is why War Machine exists, for people who are more like the Tom Gwans of the world who want to play a game that's balanced for just winning. But yeah. you can't have somebody win at Age of Sigmar with its original rules.
Yeah. Where,
like, you literally, the game just didn't work. But you weren't supposed to do, you were supposed to, like, hey, look at my cool tree person. Hey, look at my cool scorpion. They're fighting. Rah!
Let's have a lot of beer. Some people,
that's really fucking stupid.
Yes.
You know, some people want the chess aspect where it's balanced and there's rules and it's tight. And some people are like, bah, smashy, smashy.
Yeah. They just want to go to a place, have a beer, roll some dice.
For better or for worse, Games Workshop games are designed for that second group of people. So you're right. You could totally lose at list selection phase, in which case you, in their mind, should say to your opponent, hey, well, we're not going to play a game and we want to play a game. So change your list maybe. And then you change your list.
Oh, okay.
The problem comes when you take that game, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem exists when you take that and then actually try to do tournaments.
Okay.
And that's when they had to correct with, like, the comp system and stuff like that, where they tried to make, you know, I don't know how familiar you are with the comp system. With that.
Some, like, people have told me some stuff, like, how friendly you are.
Not friendly, or even, like, your list. Like, imagine if you played a War Machine tournament and you had, like, Haley 2, and at the end of the tournament, like, yeah, you won, but, I mean, Haley 2, fuck you, buddy. And so it affected your score.
You get, like, negative. Let's say you got one of your wins counted as a loss because you had Haley 2 as your force.
Yeah. You would actually,
but
would
I
affect,
won.
No, but yeah, you won, but you won with a dickhead unfair list.
Oh,
yeah. So comp system, it would be something like the annoying thing about the comp system is it was usually made by an outside party. So think of, like, you know, random, like, Germany deciding, like, all right, this is how list construction should be.
Yeah,
and you'll be penalized if you go against this list construction.
Yeah.
And that's basically how it
works. Because I went to my first tournament. I had all my stuff. It was painted. It was orcs. I can't remember what was even in the list. But I put my stuff down. He put his stuff down. I basically just, like, ate pavement for the next, you know, 2 hours. And I'm like, oh, I guess I'm terrible at this game. He's like, no, you played okay.
You just never had a chance.
You just never had a chance. And I'm like, what? He's like, you just never had a chance. You had already lost as soon as I saw what your list was. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
I put all my stuff away. Went up to the counter. I'm like, I would like to sell these. And then I walked out of the store.
I mean, it would be like, yeah. I mean, it's just, it is what it is. And the comp system is the hammer that they use to take the square peg of a casual game and shove it into the round hole of a tournament system.
Okay.
And it's not an elegant weapon. And it wasn't a pretty result when they wedged that thing into that hole. But it's what they had to do.
Wow. That's
no, comp systems are... are Brian and Mai's main reason of getting out of Warhammer.
Okay.
Because it annoyed us so much that a company couldn't write the proper rule sets for tournament play and allowed basically outside sources to basically dictate how tournament play should be done.
Because the closest thing I think I've experienced to that in War Machine is that when Rick ran the CID tournament for SR17, he like just put a thing and was like, oh, write a friendliness score, right? Yeah. And then whoever, you know, he won that, but he didn't include that anything within the total standings.
I thought that was like the same thing. Those counted in your standings, that'd be, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, I remember it's like, because some people, when he said that was going to happen, some people posted onto the Facebook group that, hey, you know, what the hell? Like, this is why we stopped playing 40K. He's like, oh, no, this is just like an extra thing to do to like kind of just...
Sportsmanship usually was never counted for fantasy.
Yeah.
But your comp score was also kind of your sportsmanship score. Yeah. So if you brought a nice compy list, then you got a higher point score.
You were obviously a nice person.
Because you were a nice person.
Yeah. So, but you could game that system too, different. I imagine. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's hard to game bringing a weaker list. Like, that's the thing. The comp wasn't as much the sportsmanship as it was the did you bring Haley 2 or did you bring, you know,
insert
Connie B. Right. That's the thing. If you, the argument, and there is some validity to this.
Yeah.
Is if you win a tournament, if you go like 4-0 with Connie B, or you go 4-0 with Haley 2 pre-nerf, one of those, you actually were a better player.
Yeah.
Probably. You know what I mean? It takes a better player to do that well with the weaker thing.
Yeah.
Like, I did it with Connie B and no Iris and no Squire and blah, blah, blah. Like, that's how good I did.
Yeah.
That person, in theory, did indeed perform better than the person who brought Haley 2, Storm Nouns, more Storm Nouns, and another unit of Storm Nouns, you know, and just crushed everybody with broken bullshit.
Yeah.
And so the comp system is to say, you know what? Yeah, Haley 2 player. No, you lose to the Connie B player.
Yeah.
You've got the same record, but they were a better player than you.
Yeah.
That was the theory, but yeah. But yeah, I mean, but even still, that it requires them to be accurate about what is over and underpowered.
Yeah.
Like, if they think Connie B is overpowered and Haley 2 is underpowered, their comp is going to be all fucked up. Because then you'll play the weak Haley 2 and get rewarded for it.
Yeah, she's terrible now that her feet no longer is everything.
But I mean, yeah, you just have
just
to
most everything.
I said the Brian Brimmer and I played a game of War Machine with like a 4-year-old kid watching us play and making up rules, and we obeyed every rule that kid did because we did not care who won or lost. We were just having fun. He's like, hey, "There's a sniper in that chimney," and so we just decided that sniper got to kill one trooper every turn.
Oh, that's cool.
That's what he does. Fuck it, sure.
Yeah,
it was fun. It was fine. You know.
Yeah.
You can't do that in a tournament.
Yeah. I mean, part of the issue with that, too, is, like, you spend so much money, and you prep, and you do all this stuff, and it kind of was really frustrating and upsetting to me that I got to that tournament. I'm like, oh, no, there's no point.
It's just a matter of knowing the goal. Like, that's the thing. It's a tournament game, or it's a let's get drunk and smash some shit together. Mm-hmm. And the problem is when one of them tries to be the other.
Yeah.
And that's why War Machine struggles with people who want to get drunk and smash shit together.
Yeah.
And they show up and they have their fun army, and it's their first time coming down on a Wednesday, and they bought this fun thing that looked cool on the box, and they assembled and they painted it, and then they get steamrolled by some A-level theme force, super amazing, unstoppable list.
Yeah.
And then they go home and never play again.
Yeah. I got it.
Like, the opposite happens, right?
Yeah. Because, I mean, I wonder how much... Yeah, I really can't see a way getting around that in War Machine.
No, there isn't. There shouldn't be.
Yeah.
And that's
right. Because that's what it wants to be.
It has to be a clean, tight tournament style game. And if we switch over to being where we're going to have comp, or we're going to be penalizing people for taking certain troop types, then
there has been some. Like,
I mean, we're kind of
recently.
in a weird way. We're kind of heading towards that in War Machine with the full inclusion of theme forces. Because if you're not in theme, you're basically going to be kind of penalized.
And also, with
ADR casters, because they're generally trying to pick the casters that aren't played as much. And usually the ones that aren't played as much are the ones that are not considered as being the most powerful.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a way of introducing a comp that doesn't feel that it's coming from somebody else telling you how to play their game.
I kind of hope that they, like, don't... Maybe they pick four casters for Grimkin to play in Champions tournaments, but they... all of their casters are nuts. Every single one of those Grimkin casters is insane.
You're not going to have an issue with ADR with Grimkin.
Yeah, but I kind of like maybe allow them to be played in Champions, but like I'm playing Dreamer and Child. That's my pair. I am technically ADR eligible.
Sure.
And that seems insane.
You have a same thing with...
Same thing happened to like Convergence. Like, you're like, oh, look, I can play Lucant and Directrix. Awesome. Like, when you have that few casters, they can...
They
literally pick one person and excise them from the ADR. And
yeah.
Yeah. But both those factions are going to have 80% of their casters available to them.
Yeah.
Well, less percent now because Orion's coming
out. Oh, that's true.
I think it's going to...
Ruin Convergence Unplayable. 66% of my casters available. That's garbage.
I think the thing with like the ADR stuff for Grimkin is that like kind of like trolls. I feel like they're always gonna be playable, which I think is pretty cool. But at the same time, if I don't feel like I'm being penal, like I don't feel like I have to make a tough decision to play this worst thing, you know.
Every one of the casters are good.
Yeah, it's hard.
You have 80%. Of your casters.
It's like, 66%. I have six casters.
They have six casters?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wanderer, Dreamer, Heretic,
Yes was fine.
Child, King of Nothing, and Old Witch 3. Sure.
Perfect.
Yay, Old Witch 3.
But anyway, yeah. ADR, good stuff.
Good stuff.
But no, it's our job as a community to just make sure that people getting into games understand the purpose of the game.
Yeah.
Right? And so... new players coming into War Machine need to be told this is going to kick your ass because it is a game for hardcore winning.
Yeah.
But you need to be aware of that, and we'll ease you into it, and you'll learn how to play, and you'll get better, and you'll have your training wheels, whatever.
Yeah.
But flip side is that people who are tryhards that go, if they go into the Age of Sigmar community, the Age of Sigmar players need to say, all right, this is a game about having fun. It's a game about forging a narrative. If you're going to try to break the system to win tournaments, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Ease back.
I think like...
And that's just, it's the expectations is what people need to have correctly. Because if you end up in the wrong game, that's the problem.
Yeah. Because I've seen it, especially at PEG, and I think you guys have done a great job with this, being leaders in that community, is when a new player's come in, I've seen like Rick or I think I've seen Rick or I think you've seen it done too, where you're just like, this is the game, this is what it is, stay away from these four people, because they're just going to annihilate you and you'll have no fun.
Those are the people who can't pull their punches.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And at least three of those four people will admit it. Like,
oh, I wish I could pull my punches. I'm terrible at it, but I'm not very good, so it helps.
Because your punches are right here. Like, you can do the dumbest thing. You can have the squire charge their caster, and he'd somehow make it work.
Mm-hmm. I did have a spell slave kill a caster once.
All right, we should go to Zappy Grumbles.
Woohoo! Can I see this?
Catbug dice?
Yeah. Yes!
You rolled snake eyes like a winner.
Booyah.
All right, so...
just when I needed them to.
So we have a couple here, so we should probably give out real quick.
You had the contest thing.
It was a contest, yes.
Yeah.
For folks, for if they gave us a Zappity Grumble this week, then they'll be entered into tickets for two for Comic-Con in Madison this coming weekend. Josh Nielsen asks, watching cartoons with my kids, do you guys like old style 80s or 90s animation style or newer style TMT, Transformers, Pac-Man, Casper, G.I. Joe as examples? So I like 80s style,
you're
obviously.
Yeah, obviously. You're Mr. Nostalgia.
I got a hard pass on this question. Sorry.
Why do you have a hard pass on it? You don't watch cartoons?
I haven't watched a cartoon from the 80s. Like, I don't know what that style is.
Pork chop sandwiches.
What?
Never mind. Okay, so I have a freaking sneeze in the back of my face. I like the 90s had some good stuff, man. That maybe it was late 80s, early 90s, because post G.I. Joe, but the Disney afternoon, right? Because we were just talking about like Darkwing Duck and Gummy Bears and Tailspin and whatnot, and then even later all the Steven Spielberg stuff, Tiny Toon Adventures, Freakazoid, Pinky and the Brain. So I really like that kind of early 90s stuff.
Yeah, that's early 90s stuff? I thought that was like mid... I thought that was almost... Yeah.
I'm a big Hanna-Barbera early... Yeah. Mid 80s stuff with the Herculoids and Thundar the Barbarian.
Sure.
Those besides those being my favorite ones from
Space
then too.
Space Ghost before he was redubbed.
Yeah.
the like one style I really like is kind of like Disney's kind of, it's not really like a house style, but it's like Phineas and Ferb, where it's like super flat. Like I love that show, and I think it's got a really cool animation that creates a mundane world and then really allows for the expression of like this really bizarre shit happening in it.
If I have to choose like a newer style of animation I like a lot, it helps that you like the show too. So yeah. Boo's House.
Imaginary Friends?
Yes.
Oh, Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends.
I do that animation style I like a lot as well.
Yeah,
you got that from Boo's House. That was very impressive.
Is there a character named Boo on that show?
No, it's Blue.
Oh, yeah. Oh my god,
Blue.
Yeah, it is Blue. Yeah.
It's funny because his boy is Mac, right? Mm-hmm. And so then they introduce Cheese, Mac's second imaginary friend, which, spoiler, turns out not to actually be his imaginary friend. But when they introduce him, you think that Mac has come up with a second imaginary friend and is cheating on Blue, basically. But so you have Mac and Cheese.
Yeah.
But it also means that the two of them are Blue Cheese.
That's pretty
funny. Which I thought was fun. But those are, like, we have a lot more unique. Like, that's the thing is, like, the 80s style was very homogenized. Like, you look at that time period, even not just the Hanna-Barbera, but if you look from, like, Thundercats to Transformers and G.I. Joe, the Hasbro ones, to the Thumbdera, like, you can tell the era they're from.
Pretty
Whereas
much.
The later ones, they kind of spread out more and test their waters. The Disneys all look really similar, the DuckTales, Tiny Toons, et cetera.
Yeah.
Or not Tiny Toons, that's not Disney, but DuckTales and Tiny Toons don't look the same.
Yeah.
Correct.
Right? Despite being fairly... So I think the 80s is the only time that has a, this is what cartoons look like.
Well, everything on like...
is ape law.
Yeah. Everything on like Disney, on the Disney Channel too, like all those cartoons I grew up with in like the late 90s, the Tailspin and DuckTales, all that stuff, that all looked the same, and I think it was on the same channel, but if you look at...
It was a block, yeah. That was Disney. That was their afternoon, was Gummy Bears, Tailspin, DuckTales, Darkwing Duck, and Chippendale's Rescue Rangers.
But even if you look at, like, the Aladdin cartoon that came out, too, it looked very similar. But, like, if you look at Disney's, like, animation blocks now, they're radically different, even on the same channel. Like, Gravity Falls looks nothing like Phineas and Ferb.
Oh,
and looks,
Gravity Falls, so good. But I think that part of that is actually so. It's
also a horror movie.
What?
Gravity Falls?
No, maybe. Gravity Falls is just damn good.
It's a really good show.
I've recommended it on here multiple times. Huh. I think part of that might be because in the 80s and whatnot, the animation was like a product, like the company was putting out. They're like, we are going to make this show. And this is how we make our shows. And so they'd come up with a Thundar. They'd come up with Space Ghost. They'd come up with the Transformers or whatever. And they'd make the show. Whereas something like Gravity Falls is the creator makes a show.
Yeah.
And then Disney's like, that's neat. You know, so it's more of the artist making their unique thing and going to the studios versus the studios creating a product.
Correct.
And that's why they feel so different, I think.
Because a lot of those, those 90s shows and early, late 80s shows are all like extensions of existing Disney brands.
Right. And the Disney afternoon was literally Disney saying, we will make these shows. And so Disney made the shows. There wasn't some random guy who really loved the concept of furry animals rescuing people and invented Rescue Rangers and then sold it to Disney. Disney said, we have Chip and Dale. Now there is a Chip and Dale show.
Mm-hmm. I wish that was true, though.
Just a guy with a passion. A guy who loves Magnum P.I. and Indiana Jones and chipmunks and decides that he needs two chipmunks just as Magnum P.I. and Indiana Jones.
And they're going to go for
it. And they're going to go for it. And then he's going to fuck with a generation by making a sexy mouse.
Yep. Yeah, that did some stuff to me.
Gadget, and then that the bunny from
Lola.
Yeah, from Air Jam, Space Jam.
Yeah, it's
Space
Lola
Jam.
Bunny.
Sure, I never saw Space Jam, but the internet has told me that Lola Bunny invented furries. Basically,
no, they've predated Lola.
Well, sure, they've been around since ancient Rome.
Yeah,
but every furry our age had a breakthrough with Lola Bunny.
Zappity. What I was going to say is nowadays, the one show that harkens back, and it's probably one of my reason why it's one of my favorite shows, that harkens back to the 80s cartoon style, Venture Brothers.
Sure. Yeah.
It is fairly similar there.
Oh, it's Johnny Quest. I mean, it's what it blatantly is. Yeah.
All right, Zabby, crumble.
Johnny Quest was a TV show.
I know what
You don't know what
Johnny Quest is. Of Johnny Quest is. Okay. I've seen the opening to Venture Brothers.
Did you ever hear a Reverend Horton Heat's remake of the Johnny Quest theme song? That's some good shit.
All right. What War Machine-related costume should Danielle Nowick make for her baby? Can't say Shredders, because she thinks they're overdone. I think a Dreadrot.
Oh, Harrier.
No. Dreadrot. Little pumpkin head. A little scary.
Oh, that'd be cute. Oh, if you're looking the large
is Agonizer in bad taste.
Ooh, the large Phantasm from the Dreamer. That would be a good one too.
I don't know what it looks like.
It looks adorable. Is what it looks like.
The stuffed Titan.
You know what you need to do. I don't remember when she's not due before this Halloween. So this is going to
a little while though.
But for next Halloween, because I think she's probably saying the thing with this stuff. Yes. So what she needs to do is a Reshethe costume. So she'll have her pudgy little kid, and she can just take like the stroller and make like little Agonizers holding it up. Nope. So she can push her on the stroller, and it'll be a little Reshethe.
I like that. Yeah. The other idea is after baby is born, which you're talking about there too, but Quaddle.
Sure. Well, yeah. But that's not War Machine.
No, I guess it is War Machine Hordes.
Mm. You dress your kid like a squire.
You can just glue a doll head to its shoulder and have it be Sturm and Drang.
That's a good one. That's a really good kid costume.
Oh, to be even worse is that have the Sacre Vault be the stroller when they put the baby on top. Put the
baby on top.
keg or carrier.
Put the baby in like a little like a rolling barrel and set it on fire. And it can be the meat thresher.
Oh yeah, they're on fire in that barrel.
Yeah, don't set your children on fire. That for legal purposes, I'll specify that you shouldn't set babies on fire.
Yeah, Zappity.
Unless they're Republican babies, I don't know what that means. Babies can't even vote. No, babies Grumble. Can't vote.
All right,
not legally.
So, yeah. Michael Cahill. Asks, do you think we're getting close to the board game market being oversaturated, or are we still in a golden era?
We've passed that point.
I think it's definitely getting oversaturated. There's so many games out there that...
Yeah.
I mean...
I stopped into I'm Bored today, and like I was looking for the expansion or the new Mansions of Madness game. Mm-hmm. And like there was just so much just like shit for just that game. For just... Well, Mansions of Madness, which isn't even like the best game that's ever been made or something like that. It's an all right game. I enjoy it. But even that had like two expansions and a bunch of like mini expansions. And then there was like an entire 4-foot section filled with other semi-related H.P. Lovecraft nonsense. Like there's just too much stuff now. It's every theme's been.
Well, you're talking about too much. You're talking about games that themselves try to become their own sub hobby.
Yes.
You know, like a Shadows of Brimstone isn't a board game. Shadows of Brimstone is a lifestyle. And that's what you're complaining about.
Sure.
Like, yeah, that's fair. If you go balls deep into Shadows of Brimstone, you cannot have any other hobbies.
Yeah.
Like, it is too big.
Yeah.
You know, or like Gloomhaven. Gloomhaven takes hundreds of hours to play through all of Gloomhaven. It is your life.
Yes.
But that's different than simply having 50 games come out every month.
Okay. Yeah, I see what you mean. That's right.
I think there is a glut of games.
Yeah, but I feel like it's almost like any other medium where like there's a glut of movies, right? But you just have to pick the ones that interest you. Mm-hmm. Like, because not only every weekend do four big movies come out, but also there's 100 direct-to-video movies that you just ignore. And those are the shitty like card games that nobody cares about that come out of those direct-to-video whatevers. And then you'll have your big headliners, and hopefully there's enough for everybody to enjoy. But the issue is, just like movies, 95% of them will just fade into obscurity and nobody's going to care.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
That's true.
That's true. Like, it's just, for me, I do want to, like, play every game that is good, right? I want to enjoy them.
Yeah,
they're
never happened.
They're good. And that's
like reading every book that's good. That's like listening to every CD that's good. You only have so much time. You know,
that's fair.
You have your hobby, and you need to be able to recognize that good stuff's coming out in there that you just don't have enough time to consume.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
But counter fairness against myself is that it takes an hour to listen to a CD, 2 hours to watch a movie, or 8 hours to read a book. Board games only books come close to that same time thing. Yeah. And even a board game, you need to get other people together. You need to play it multiple times. I mean, there's a bigger time sink, and so it's easier to listen to every new CD than it is to play every new book.
But it's not just that too, but like, so War Machine is my big hobby, right?
Right.
And I want to play it a lot so that I can get good at it.
Right.
But I also want to play Dune. That game was so much fun, sure. Right? But I realized that I'm going to have to play that game like 5 times before I really wrap my head around anything.
Yeah.
Instead of, because like when we played, I enjoyed it, but it just kind of felt like shit was flying at me.
Well, we booted you to the curb.
But, yeah, that was hard.
And that's,
man, like, not cool. That was not okay.
But if you're just going to trust on your friends to have like a few games that they're like, hey, you'd like this game, you know, like Andy will be like, hey, you know, I think you'd really like this Warhammer quest or whatever. I'm like, hey, yeah. I think you'd like Eclipse or whatever. Like,
yeah,
then that's fine because you're not really. It's the people like Brian and I, and luckily I am poorer than Brian, so I can't do it as badly as Brian. Actually, no, my friend Justin, who buys literally every game that comes out.
What?
Justin Lang has hundreds of board games. Yep. He buys them all. What he does is he buys them. He plays them 3 or 4 or 5 times. And if they're good, he keeps them. And if they're bad, he just trades them on Board Game Geek for another new one. Like, he does, maybe not literally every game, because he might not bother with, like, the Munchkins and stuff like that, obviously. Yeah. But if it's, like, if it cracks Board Game, if Board Game Geek cares that it's coming out,
yeah,
he gets it. Okay. And that's the thing, is you have to be able to filter. Because, you know, it's 100 board games might come out in a year, but really only 10 of them are any good.
Yeah.
Right? And of those 10, only 5 of them are going to be good in a genre that you care about.
Yeah.
Like, if I really like war games, there's really only going to be 2 or 3 war games that are any good that come out in a year. And I can play 2 or 3 games, you know?
Yeah. Because really, that's like a couple weekends, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you are insane and want to own every game, yeah, you're fucked. But if you can filter it down and pick the ones that appeal to you, I don't think it's overblighted.
Yeah, because like the only thing, it kind of reminds me of video games a little bit.
I'm sorry.
It reminds me of video games a little bit. Because like my Steam account, I have like 500 games on there. I have no idea. Like,
right.
I've maybe played 40 of them at the most.
I haven't played every board game I own. I definitely haven't played every board game I own. And it's similar to the Steam, the dollar ones. Like, I have, like, 50 little card games that cost me $2 each, and I bought them and threw them on a shelf, and I'm never going to play them, just like my Steam account.
Yeah.
But it's, like, more like console games when a big thing like a Doom or a Horizon Zero Dawn or whatever comes out. But even still, Horizon Zero Dawn comes out, and then a month later Destiny 2 comes out, and then a month later something else, and you just don't have time to play them all.
Yeah.
You get a backlog. And so, yeah, that can happen.
I'm frustrated by all this good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the downside of too much of a good thing, I guess.
Yeah.
But you'll get through it. You'll survive.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Zappity.
Did you think, I think you said yes at the beginning, didn't you?
What?
Yeah, you agreed.
At the beginning, you think there's too much board games?
I think there's too much.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you want to play a dungeon crawl game, there's too many dungeon crawl games. And that's what I'm saying is, like,
yeah.
I think we're getting to that point of having just too many of a certain type.
Yeah.
I mean, the concern with unlike a video game, like if a board game doesn't make it, like won't that just kill the company?
Depends on the company.
Some companies, yeah. I mean, some companies that's their only product to ever put out. So, I mean. Yeah.
Right. But, I mean, does No Man's Sky kill whatever those guys' name was? Like, that's a company who came out with one game and.
Yeah, but aren't they being, like, really underwritten by Sony, though? Like, that's the difference, I guess.
I don't know if they. I'm not sure.
I literally
making No Man's Sky. It's actually doing.
They're doing a great job of fixing that issue. Yeah. Like kudos to Hello Games. They did a real good job of trying to fix that issue. But I just thought they're an example of a small group that put out something. And in theory, if it had just full bombed and they just given up, that they just
Battleborn.
No. Because that's Gearbox. Gearbox is doing fine. It's a shame that their best game is the one that failed the worst. But fucking A. So. There was a baseball player in
Kurt Schilling.
Yes. It was like 88 games or something. Something like that.
It was 31 maybe?
Whatever.
It was his number for the Red Sox.
He made a company because Rhode Island had like that whole tax haven thing where like come and make video games and we'll basically pay for it with tax money. And it was this big disaster because the game bombed and it killed the company and everything.
Yeah.
And it also was a good game.
Yeah. That caused Kurt Schilling to lose his mind.
Yeah. But no, so that can happen.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, we're going into a slightly grumble. going into a slightly racist portion here.
Which, oh boy!
Well, not exactly racist, but white rice or brown rice?
Oh, white,
easily. Brown rice, I don't like the taste of it, the texture. It's in the same boat as wild rice. Yeah. I cannot stand wild rice.
Quick thing. What? Gone Link Dead said he played for the Phillies. He also played for the Arizona Diamondbacks and won a World Series championship in 2001.
What are you, a sports fucking broadcast?
Something of Alnir.
No. Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning.
Yes.
Is what it was. And it was actually a damn good game. But it bombed. Anyway, sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, white rice all the way. I want the flavoring to come from the stir fry or curry or whatever. Correct. I'm putting with the rice. Yeah. Or just treat it like any other starch, like mashed potatoes, and just put butter and salt and pepper on the rice. Mm-hmm. That's good shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something to observe the flavor, and I also kind of like it. So
yeah, I cannot stand brown rice. I cannot. It's just
dirty.
Bleh.
Yeah.
Give me some bleached white rice. I want that.
We're all in agreement there.
All right. That's it.
But I think the
there was a question that was a Xavier Grimble that was thrown up on there by Arctic Circle that I thought was actually pretty cool. It was what is your least favorite game mechanic? And
like ever?
I don't know if it was ever. Was it ever Arctic Circle? Please post. But no, that's like a really interesting concept because there's like a couple. There was a game that I played called Dystopian Wars.
Sure.
That I really enjoyed. And it. Like, it finally made me realize what I didn't like about it is that you roll, like, a billion die, but sixes exploded.
Yeah.
So you'd roll a six, and then you'd roll another die from that six, like, so on and so forth.
Exploding
like,
sixes.
Yeah. But, like, that, like, there was a time in that game where I literally just, like, one round took someone off the table with it, and it wasn't fun for me. It wasn't fun for the other people. Like, it ruined exciting. The game.
Catbug's going to kill a mosquito. Get him, Catbug. Take that, mosquito.
First kill.
Got it.
Yes, exploding sixes suck.
Yes, that for me has ruined games. It's worse for me than a dice pool is, but I hate exploding sixes.
Well, I mean, with the dice pool, you have like a bunch of dices that could roll sixes, but...
Yeah.
But...
I mean, that game had both a dice pool and exploding sixes,
yeah.
And that just is disastrous.
I the only, you hear me talk about Blood Bowl and loving Blood Bowl.
Yes.
The thing I really dislike about Blood Bowl is the always failure, always success.
Yeah.
I mean, it's awesome when it's always success, but it would be just as easy to throw that on a 2d6 curve and it would not feel as horrible.
Yeah.
Really dicey.
Yeah, it's... And that's just how the game works. I've come to accept that and understand that, so I don't get angry.
We had discussed mitigating that some as a possible thing. Instead of the two dice curve, the concept of turnovers only triggering for ball-related failures.
Correct.
So that you don't just throw a three dice block and get screwed nowhere near the ball and your turn just ends immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only issue with that is that could really help bashy teams potentially.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
But that would be playtesting to find out if that would actually be a case or not. I also wanted to do that type of gameplay, but on a shorter time clock, like a death clock that goes 3 minutes back and forth.
Sure.
Each player has 3 minutes and no turnovers unless it's a ball failure turnover, like a failure to pick up the ball, fail to hand it off or pass.
Isn't there, but there already is a time limit or time limit on turns, right?
Oh. It's a suggested time limit.
Okay, I think because
and the suggested time limit is plenty long too.
Yeah. It's definitely long enough to do that. I mean,
because I played it. I played it at a game store in Michigan when I lived there. I had like a chaos team, mm-hmm. and I mean, I had fun with the game, but I always just kept not picking up the ball and losing.
Well, you set yourself
have
up
a big hand.
Yeah, you set yourself up to basically the way you play Blood Bowl, and this has worked for me is you set yourself up for your eventual failure, that you're in the best position for your failure.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean.
And the first thing you should do every turn is everything that literally does not involve a die.
Okay.
If you have movements that do not involve touching a die, you do those first. That way you don't get boned out of those by rolling a one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Because if the first, if you're like, these 10 players are going to run up, but I'll just do this thing first. Oops, failed. Reroll, still failed. I guess those other 10 guys don't move.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really bad.
It is.
And that's really recognizing that and prioritizing that too. Like, you know, you have a guy that's back there by the ball and you want to make sure that it's covered. So you move a guy over by the ball.
Yeah.
And then you actually do your other things. And then you move the guy who's supposed to go and pick up the ball.
Yeah.
Because if you fail it, then you have at least two tackle zones on the ball.
Yeah. I mean, the issue comes up is when, like, you need to do a two dice block against one guy to clear up the tackle zone that your entire team is going to run through, and then none of them are going to touch a die, and then that two dice block fails and then rerolls and fails. That's when the game is really frustrating.
Yes.
But yeah, it is what it is.
I always just like had like
that's number wing.
I always just had like the I just need to roll a two to pick up the ball. Drop. I guess I have to spend a reroll from earlier that. Oh, I guess I'm going to lose.
There's something going on with our internet. It's just
internet
bogging down.
Bad.
All right, we should. I will go ahead and I'll post the winner of these Zappity Grumbles in our on our Facebook.
And a preemptive congratulations to whoever that is.
Yep. I'm gonna roll die.
Is it me? Those dice aren't random. Those dice suck.
This was random. All right.
Do random.org.
No, I
wait. Is that a thing?
Or you can just do Google roll d6.
Who won?
No, I heard it.
Well, it's
yeah. I have in my roll there, which was a 4 of Danielle.
I thought it was a 5.
No,
that's
This is a 4.
Yeah, that's what you rolled. I thought you rolled that one.
Oh,
I have no idea.
Andy just picked a number.
Congratulations to number 4.
Yep.
Who's what? Daniel?
Danielle.
Danielle. Congratulations, Danielle.
There's also a in the chat, someone said baby Karchev. Another great baby out there.
Karchu.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go and jump to recommendations. There's a Packer game on right now.
There is a Packer game
on. Go Pack Go.
Yeah, my recommendation is play Grand Theft Auto. Come play with me. I have my awesome gang, motorcycle gang.
My recommendation is don't listen to him. Play Heroes of the Storm instead. Play with me.
Heroes of the Storm. I Heroes of the Storm, but not all the time.
I'm going to recommend something different. The, I think, 2005-2006 procedural detective show, Pushing Daisies, which was quite good.
Procedural? You're describing it as a procedural detective show?
It is.
Okay. Yeah. You're really burying the lead on that one.
I know. I really want someone to go into it thinking it's like CSI and just find out what it really is.
I recommend the small town drama Jericho. Is that what you're doing?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, Pushy Daisies is awesome.
Well,
I
right
forgot
then.
That show existed.
Yeah. It's good. It's a good show. It is a good show. I agree with that recommendation.
God, that show is good.
All right. We're cutting the podcast.
Okay.